Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get into Word, God, in just a few minutes. I know Elder Freddie, he's so excited to always preach the Word of God because he knows he's called to do this. And that's why I know there's so much zeal in him when he knows that he's going to preach. So we're just going to pray for him in a few seconds here. But why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Lord Jesus, we come into your most awesome presence and we seek after you because in your holy presence there is an abundance of your love, your peace, and your joy. Father God, I just ask that you will just overflow us with your goodness right now. Because, Lord, whatever we're holding on to, anything that we know creates any negativity, any bitterness, anything that will cause us to draw us away from you, I just pray, Lord, we can release it to you now. Because, Lord, we just want more of you. And I pray as we truly decrease, you will increase in every way. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to speak through us today. And this also day of communion, Lord, we're just going to remember what Jesus did for us. He suffered and he died for us on the cross. And he was more than willing to do this for us simply because he loved us. So, Lord, we just honor you in this day. I just pray, Lord, that your presence will abound in every way. We surrender this time into your hands right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Well, like I said, today is communion with pastors. How, you know, sometimes we counsel people because they are struggling with what you're going through in life. And a lot of times I'll talk to people that tells me, you know, Pastor, I don't know if I can be a Christian any longer because it's just too hard. It's like they're struggling with temptation. They're struggling with sin. And it just seems like it doesn't get better. And I always tell them, you know what? You got to remember, it's God that will help you because I've been there. I know what it's like. I actually went to my brother, you know, I remember like 20-something years ago, and I told him, I said, Walton, I don't know if I can continue in this faith. I actually told my brother that because I said, it's just too hard. I'm always trying. I'm always pushing myself. I'm always trying to resist, you know, temptation and sin, but it always seems I'm falling flat on my face. And I remember what he told me. He says, Ben, why are you doing it yourself? Knowing that the Bible tells us God will help you. And we got to realize if we are struggling, we turn to the one that can give us strength and give us the power we need to live victoriously. You know, I remember someone once said, you know how you can tell if a person really has a lot of strength and willpower? Simply if you do this, you give them a bar of chocolate and you break it into four pieces, right? That person takes that bar of chocolate, breaks it into four pieces, and only eats one piece. You know that person is strong, especially if you love chocolate.
I love chocolate.
All right, brother. Try this out. See if you can do it. Take a bar of chocolate, break it into four pieces, eat one, and then just throw the rest away. Or give it away if you want. But you know what? Sometimes we say, oh, I can do it. But you know what? Sometimes we just let it sit in front of us. Guess what? The temptation will come. Even though you say, no, I'm not going to eat anymore. Sometimes the temptation gets so strong. You say, okay, maybe I'll have another one, and then another one becomes another one, and another one becomes another one. Then you got the whole bar of chocolate eaten, and then you got another one that's ready for you to be eaten again. And you know, it's just like a bag of potato chips. You know, Lay's, they have that commercial where it says, no one can just eat one, right? No one can just eat one chip. And I got to tell you, my favorite chip is sour cream and onion. And I tried this one time where I just said, you know what, I'm just going to eat one. I was really hungry. I think I skipped lunch that day. And I said, let me see if I can really resist. And I tried doing that. I just ate one chip. Okay, I ate it real slowly and enjoyed it. And then after I finished, okay, that's it. I'm putting away the bag. Then guess what? Guess what is on my mind? More chips. Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I can do this. I will resist. I'm not going to go there. No, I'm going to resist. But, you know, as I let the bag sit in front of me, I should have just, you know, put it in the closet. I'll just let it sit in front of me. And guess what? The temptation became too strong. So strong that I say, okay, Lord, I wasn't really serious. I'm going to have another one. And then another one and another one and another one. And it just seems like that's what we do sometimes. We know we want to resist. But sometimes we allow this temptation or sin to come forth because, you know what? We are not willing to walk away from it. And we got to realize it's only God that can give us the strength to overcome it. Because in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. What it generally means is that there's no temptation that is so strong that it will overpower you. That we know that all the temptations, all the sins that we have in life, there's not something that will overpower you to the point where you have no control. Because it's all common to man. Whatever you're going through, other brothers and sisters are going through it too. But we got to realize, the Bible says, when that temptation comes, God will provide a what? A way out. He's always going to give you a way out. He's not going to say, okay, you're stuck. He's not going to say, okay, this temptation is too big, too strong. No, you can't get out. God says, I will always provide a way out for you. It's up to us. Are we going to take a hold of what we know is the very solution for us to turn away, to resist, knowing it's God that empowers us? And we got to stop trying to do it on our own, like I've done in the past, and realize that God will empower you. And whatever it is that you're holding on to, God says, you give it to me, it's gone. You're free. So we got to just go to God and realize He is that awesome. He is that powerful. He is that mighty. And that's why today we're going to have communion. You got to realize it's a time where, yeah, we partake of the elements representing the body and the blood of Christ. But it's so important. We must get our lives ready and to the point where we're going to say, Lord, whatever it is that I'm holding on to, I'm going to release it to you. Because basically communion is a time when we come together as Christian believers and remember what Jesus did for us and all of mankind. He laid down His life for us so that we may be free from eternal death and from the bondages of sin. And we got to realize that communion is not optional. It is something that we must partake of if you say you are a Christian believer, if you say you love Jesus Christ. But you know what Scripture also tells us? There are people that should refrain from participation of communion, and therefore pass a tray on as it comes to you. Because this is what it says in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 11:26-27. It says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So what is an unworthy manner? Well, simply put, if you are an unbeliever, you haven't put your faith in Christ, and I know people who have done this, say, oh, I just want to see what this bread and juice is all about. I just want to taste it. I want to see what it's like. This, out of curiosity, is an unworthy manner. You must believe that these are truly elements that represent the body and blood of Christ. And you partake of them because you want to remember what Jesus had done for you. And then there are believers who have a totally unrepentant heart. And they basically have no remorse for their sin. They say, you know what? I know I've done wrong. I said something to my brother or sister. I know I hurt them. And I know that I'm carrying this burden or this guilt. I know I should release it, but I'm not going to. We know this is also an unworthy manner because you must get your life right with God. Your heart must be pure before God before you partake of communion, because otherwise you truly will not experience the presence, the full presence of God, unless you make it right with Him and with your brothers and sisters. However, if you are a believer, we're going to give you a moment in just a few minutes to get it right with God. And basically, you just go to God and you repent and confess of your sins to Him. For this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 11:28-29. It says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. I'd like to call forth now the elders and leaders of the church to come forward with the elements of communion. We have a treat for you. We're going to have Elder Freddie come and preach the word for us. I'm going to ask my brother to come on up. Let's give him a round of applause. Oh, brother. Why don't we go ahead and stretch a hand out towards our brother, Fred. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, with our hearts ready to receive whatever you're going to speak through our brother, Fred. And I ask you now, as your holy presence abounds in this very place, I know you have surrounded us with holy warrior angels, ministering angels, Lord. I pray, Lord, as my brother speaks your word, you know, Lord, your presence will come forth. And whatever we're holding on to that is not pleasing to you, we're going to surrender it to you this very day. I pray that you anoint the words that come out of my brother's mouth, knowing, Lord, that it's not him that's speaking anymore. It's you speaking through him. And I know your words will bring forth life. The abundant life that you promised us as we choose to live your word and do your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' most powerful name, we pray all these things. And everyone says,
amen. Amen.
Praise God.
We gotta confess, the chocolate he's talking about, I ate them all. Sorry, I'm waiting for you guys. But with God, it's possible.
Amen.
We're just worshiping, yeah? And God gave me this verse, Zechariah 4:6. And the Lord said to me, the word of the Lord, not by my might, not by my own power, it's by His Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Well, when I hear His words, it comforts me. It strengthens me. When I fail, I know His words are true. And today I'm going to tell you, it is for real kind. It's not imitation. It's not fake. It is real. Every month, first of the month, we do communion in remembrance of Him. And it's very important what He did for us on that cross. Why He did that for us. You gotta believe that. Do not let the deceiver deceive you. The only way you'll be able to conquer those fiery darts is by His Spirit. Your faith in what Jesus did for you. Death has no sting of it. Oh man, I hear His promises. No more pain, no more suffering. But I also hear, that's in heaven, yeah? I also hear here, you can have an abundant life. Are you going to preach prosperity gospel? I haven't preached. Those who diligently seek Him will be rewarded. And those who draw back from Him, Jesus said, my soul has no desire. My soul has no. It's up to us to either come to Him. And I come to Him now. When I'm preaching to myself. I want to encourage you as I get encouraged with the word. So I want to share God's words that will give you life. And I pray today that you would live His life, live His word. Please remember last month I spoke about the fruits. And we're going to get more deep into God's love. As Christian said, how he imitated me, God is love. That's my mini-me. Used to be my mini-me, my biggie-me. Oh, look. Oh, I got a joke for you guys. Actually, this is a true story. What do you get when you get one? Howley, you know. Howley means, let me see, I'm talking to the camera. Somebody listen. Howley means foreigner, okay? Doesn't mean anything else. It's just a foreigner. Because my wife is Howley. And she's beautiful. Man, like, hey, man. My goddess. Man. No. Oh, no. She's like, she came down the stairs walking like an angel with wings. I worship my wife.
No.
Okay. You get shocked, huh? You get smart. You get scared. I desire. I love my wife. So what am I going with this?
Huh?
Oh, my joke. Okay, what do you get? This is for real kind though, you know. It's not really a joke. What do you get when you get one? When you put one Howley and one Filipino together?
Christian.
Howley Peño! Come on, brother. You want to be a dance. Get up. Howley Peño. And he is hot. Oh, yeah. Man, and all his good looks, not for me, for my beautiful wife. And I'm so proud of him. They've been worshiping God. I remind my boys, make sure you worship God in spirit and in truth. Yeah. No up there to be patted on the shoulder. Give glory to God.
Amen.
Give glory to God. One more thing I wanted to share about Saturday. You guys remember last week, if you guys weren't here last week, I mentioned about if you're in third place and you pass the second place guy or girl, what place are you in? Raise your hand. Anybody know?
First place.
Close, but not quite. Anybody else? You know that. Raise your hand. Second place. Second place. And then at the Saturday, I told the guy, David Kai, Father, blessed are you. It's not that you revealed that to us. It's God who revealed that to you. Then afterwards, after the service, I was talking to him. Hey, how did you know you're second place? What's second place? It's not that me that revealed it to you. It's my Heavenly Father that revealed it to me. We're going to get revelations from God. When we get into His Word, we believe it with all our hearts, and we'll live His Word. So if you got your notes, please turn to your notes. If you don't have one, can you okay?
Yes.
So we're going to be reading from John 15, 9 through 17. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along in your Bibles, but I'm going to throw out some scriptures and then be ready to, I'm going to ask, if you got your Bibles, I'm going to ask a couple of people to turn to some scriptures. So let me read this first. As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking, yeah? And he's talking to his disciples. He's getting ready to be crucified. So he's telling his disciples his instructions. And I believe, if you want to be his disciples, you should follow his words and his teachings. Whenever I read his word, I ask the Lord, please speak to me. Please teach me. How can I apply your words that gives me life, that I believe that your words that give me life, how can I live this, Lord? That I may glorify you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, Jesus is saying, remain in my love. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his wife. Excuse me. No greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. You know, I put that in because sometimes we just rely on the speaker, or on the pastor, on the teacher. But you gotta read your word yourself, because God will speak to you firsthand message directly from God. Yes, God uses us to help encourage you, to help train you, to help equip you. I might slip up. Yeah. And I know, being called to be an elder and to teach, there's a stricter judgment. But God, if that's what you call me to do, I know you are a righteous God. And you will direct me. Yeah? God is righteous. You know. So, what I'm going to say is, make sure you read your word. Make sure you always look up what it says in the Bible. What God is saying. So verse 14, Jesus is saying, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you, what does it say? Friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Thank you, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. So we go back to verse 9. Talk about love. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. This is his command, to love. Okay? So, what is love? Every Sunday, I come out and say, God is love. And it's in 1 John, God is love. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, it will explain to us what love is and what love is not. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians, it says, you can write that down. If you don't have your Bibles, you can share. I encourage you to bring your Bibles, even when Pastor Ben preaches. You got to keep him accountable too, and pray for him. Okay, so who's at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7? Cindy, are you there? 13. 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Who's there? Okay, for me. Go ahead.
Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It does not irritable. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will be useless. Then, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away my childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But when I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Oops. Oops. It's okay. This is good. I can find any notes in here, that's why. So love. First thing about love is patient. It also says love suffers long. Patient. Wait. Wait on the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, it says that you'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. This song says, teach me, Lord, to wait. And meditate. Like we're just saying, I meditate on your word, Lord, day and night. So you got to be patient. We live in a life is, I want this now. I can Google this now. I can get this information now. I can heat up my food now. I want one wife now. Everything I want. You gotta be patient with the Lord. You gotta ask the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's in Proverbs. For example, when we got married, we're looking for a house. And I know the Bible says a man and wife should cleave together, be one. Yeah? Go out and be one. Go live and go have your own place. Don't live with your parents. That's what the Bible is telling me. I tell them, we haven't found a house yet. Our condos are rented out. We don't want to inconvenience our tenants and kick them out. And I promise Barbara, okay, let's just stay. I promise you, 1 year we'll be out of my mom's house. Okay? We'll be out of my mom's house. And I just went through a divorce. So I'm broke. Okay? I'm broke. I mean, no more nothing. No more money. She never married me for my money. She loved me. She married me for my good looks that I passed down to Christian. That's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke. But she married me. She loved me. So I asked the Lord, okay. Less than six months later, we just had Christian. Oh, I find this house thing. It's in REO. You know what REO is, a real estate loan. When the house goes into foreclosure, it goes back to the bank who owns it. So you deal directly with the bank. But there's another thing. The land is leasehold. I remember my dad said, nobody leasehold. He never really gave me a good reason. I kind of like forget because I like buy them. It was this big property with this big house, one solid house. I think, Lord, I desire this. I think we can raise my family. If it is your will, make it happen. If it's not, please close the door. So this is a 18,000 square foot lot. We're in a 6-bedroom, 4-bath house. One bank owns the land. One bank owns the house. You know, so I tell the realtor, in order for me to buy this, I want one loan. And I don't want leasehold. I remember in the back of my mind, my dad said, nobody leasehold. And when they was offering the lease home, it's only like 18,000 square foot lot now. Okay. The bank said, yeah, we will sell you the lot and the house. The house, the lot was 80 grand for an 18,000 square foot lot. 80 grand. Okay? Huh? Yeah, that's a God deal. Yeah. My grandparents' house right up the road. 6,000 square foot lot. The house is in disrepair. House just sold $600,000. $600,000. Just the land, that's the value in the land. The house is no value because it's got so many things broken that's not good, that's been in disrepair. Okay? So we keep walking by faith, and I keep asking the Lord. And I need to come up with this down payment. And at that time, I just lost my main account that I had for over 13 years. So we end up moving forward, keep trusting in God, keep acknowledging Him. Okay? So we end up buying the house. You know what? In fact, at that point, someone was in contention to put an offer to. Give them full price. I'm scared about this. It's a heavy commitment. That's a lot of money going out, you know. And I never know. I lost my account. I still have my other account. And some other accounts is not paying for some reason or another. That's how business is. I asked the Lord. And I had to come up with this down payment. I had enough. And then after inspection, I have to come up with more down payment. Oh, Lord, if this is not the house, please take it away. You know my heart. This is my desire. I want a house that is strong to raise my family. And guess what? We got the house. And guess what? Just so happened, when I trusted him, my accounts receivables, payables, checks started to come in. Money started to come in. Okay? So, gotta be patient. Trust in Him. Wait on Him. In every area of your life. With marriage. Get married. You wanna get married? First thing you gotta do first. Get your right life, your life right with Jesus. It's number one thing. Get your life right with Jesus. Yeah? You gotta be content with where you're at now. Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. I don't know what you guys are going through, but I know when I go through hard times, suffering times, I am patient, I am on my knees, I say, Lord, help me. Help me, help me, help me not to have this bitterness against this tenant who's not paying. I hear His word, it says, bless them, pray for them. That's not what we are taught in the world, but this is what Jesus is teaching us. In Romans it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You gotta meditate on His word. You gotta not only hear His word, but do His word. Just got divorced, thinking, brokenhearted. I come to the Lord. The Lord receives me, fills my emptiness. I learn to forgive. Let it go, pass on, move on. Learn from your mistakes. Whatever situation, learn from your mistakes. Not, oh Lord, why is this happening again? Said, Lord, help me. What can I learn from this? Is it me? Did I make the wrong decision? I didn't come to you for counsel? I didn't ask the pastor, the elders, if this is the right thing we should do? In the multitude of counselors, your plans will not fail. Godly counsel now. God-fearing men. God-loving men who lives their life for God. Okay? We got to be patient. And sometimes I hear Pastor Ben says, when we don't hear anything or when we don't get an answer, what does that mean? Maybe that's not where you should be going. Maybe that's not the wife you should marry. Maybe that's not the house you should get. Or maybe you shouldn't be going to this trip. Or maybe whatever decision you make. Patient. Love is patient. Love is long. Suffers long. Long suffering. Can we move on to patient now? You guys kind of got that? Patience? Okay. You want me to give you another example? He has got it. Go like this if you got it. Oh, Arthur got it. Okay, no, thank you, Arthur. Love does not envy. Envy. You know what envy means? Anybody know? Go ahead. What does it mean?
Well, you always look at the other side and it's better.
Yeah. The grass is greener on the other fence. Or, oh, how come God, these guys get one nice car and I get this, I'm only riding this old junk along. When you envy, oh, how come God, these guys get one bigger house than me, and I only get one two-bedroom house? I know that it goes through your mind because it went through my mind. I lived there. But when I read His word, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? So, envy. Be content with what you have. Paul says that I know how to have a little, and I am content. I know how it is to have a lot, and I am content. Not contentious. Don't be contentious with God. Don't contend with Him. Can you? God says this. I hear God. When I wrestle with Him and I kind of question Him and I. Can you create one more? That's what it says. What was it? Was that what you told me last time? Can you, man, create one more of that? And then I heard today, God speaking, can you have memory like an elephant? You know all these verses that comes to me? It's not that I remember it. It's my Father in heaven. It's His Spirit. Okay. Out of the abundance of your heart, come out of your lips. Okay. So I encourage you. Are you saying more negative stuff or evil stuff? Or more negative stuff or positive stuff? I'll get more into that later on. Let me move on to envy. Everybody got envy, right? Okay. Love does not parade itself. Another version is parade itself. You know, like how they walk. Models, they walk like this. Yeah? Am I doing right? Or like guys, they walk like this. You know, at school, yeah? I remember high school.
Who get the biggest chest?
They can swing their arm like this. Love does not parade around itself. Love is not boastful. Boastful means to brag. I got this, I got that. Yes, it's from the Lord. I did this. I prayed for this person, and he was healed. It was from me. I did this. No, 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 no. God did it. Glory to God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen. When you get boastful, man, you can hit your head. You can hit your head, and you can hit the wall. I've been there. Young children, listen, so you don't get scars like uncle. Okay? When your parents tell you, no steal, no steal. Uncle Freddy had to learn the hard way. See the juicy mango on the other side of the fence. I envied that mango. I wanted that juicy mango. You guys hear that song? Love is like a mango. Barbara's favorite song. She loved mango so much. I got to, this coming to me. I don't listen to my mind. I climb that fence. Get the mango. Boom, big scar on my head. Yeah? Bumba, you learn. You don't like listening now? Bumba, you learn. But look, listen, kids. You don't gotta get this big scar. Yeah? Listen to your parents. They love you so much. Okay? Honor your parents. They want the best for you. Oh, he's always grumbling about me. Oh, you guys saying this kind of stuff. You guys always on me. We love you. I've been through what you've been. No, act like you know everything. Don't think that you're proud. You parade yourself around like this, that you boast for children. I learned that the hard way. I thank God that I learned it. And my wife always reminds me, hey, show some grace. But yeah, you're right, honey. My bad. I just want to protect you from this situation. But if that person forgave you, oh, I forgive that person. I just want to protect you. True. My wife said, no. It's done. They apologize to me. I forgive them. Okay, I forgive them too. And I'm driving my truck. You know, I used to think I was, I thought I'm, I not want lamb, you know. You know how the Bible says I want lamb? You're a lamb of God. The wee sheets. I want ram. I used to think I want ram. I will run people over. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. No, no, no. Be humble. Humility. Humble with humility. Okay? I've been praying and I hear the Holy Spirit. You better be humble. Be humble. Because you know what happened the last time you never listened? You lost plenty of money, right? Yes, Lord. But God can always turn it around for good. For those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. So let's move on. Love does not parade itself, boastful, conceited, stuck up, high mucks. You guys remember me saying that, yeah? Think you better than anybody. No, man, I am the least of the elders of you. I am the least. I'm here to serve you guys. When we have our summer ministry, I pray that you guys come because we're here to serve you guys. Have fun. You can have an abundant, fun life. Yeah, it's a lot of work. But we're doing it for Jesus. Not for me. We're doing it to serve the body. Everybody has a gift. When we're working together in our gifts, then God's work is done, is working perfectly. okay, perfectly. It does not behave rudely, does not dishonor others. It's okay.
I gotta stretch, bro.
I get kind of tense up there. So this is, when I hear these words, he's talking to me. Does not behave rudely. Okay. Give you an example. I get an old clock radio with an alarm in my, it's so dusty and so old. I think for Father's Day, I like my Bose stereo clock radio. That's my desire, that's what I want. Yeah. But to my son, I just try and smoke and hints. Tell my son, let's go Bose. After we do them, watch a movie, go Bose, check them out. So we go look at the Bose. I have one stereo that's Bose. When it first came out, long time ago, still working perfectly. But that one, no more alarm clock. I want a small one by my bedside. The old one is dusty, it's time to go. Okay, and I want to hear something. When I listen to worship music, when I wake up in the morning, it's just like automatically feeding my mind with good things. It goes on, I have it on a Christian station. Subconsciously, I'm still like, ah, oh, can I hear this verse? Oh, yeah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. God knows my desire, why I want something like that. And plus, I like my wife to dance. She's beautiful. So I want some good sounding music. I don't like go downstairs and turn on the stereo and then run upstairs. Ooh. I would dance for her, but she would run away. But she dance, she go buy clothes, yeah? Everyone, good women's sale, Mother's Day. Just buy whatever you like. I can trust her. Go ahead, buy whatever you like. You deserve it. And you know what's good? She models for me. Let me get the stereo on. It's kind of. But she still get the moves on. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's good for our relationship.
Yeah.
Honey, I'll buy you whatever you need. You deserve it. And thank you, Jesus, that I listen to you, that I am not, I'm learning not to be envious, not to be, you know, conceited, not to be boastful, not to be high marks, not to behave rudely, but getting back to behaving rudely. So we go look at the stereo. So I ask the salesman, is all like this, yeah? Body language already. Oh, no. So I think, okay, I'm going to take the best of this guy. Oh, so this stereo, I'm interested. Does this come with CD player? Because it's stacked up on this other thing. It's, oh, no, it just comes like this. And I go, okay, what about this one? This one, does this have CD player? Oh, no, that's just radio. Okay. How about the color? Does it come in this? And then he goes, oh, no. He just rudely interrupts me. He says, oh, let me just explain to you everything. And I'm like, what? I just learned in men's Bible study that fiery darts, is this one of the situations? Man, how am I going to put out this fiery dart? Okay, Freddie, don't behave rudely. So I let him explain through everything. Yeah. And immediately after he's done, I said, thank you, have a good day, and we left. No, I said, thank you, have a good day, and I left. I'm not going to give him my business to this guy. He won't appreciate it. But I ain't going to behave rudely because I just learned his word. And Chris walks up. Dad, you saw what happened? Yeah, you know what happened, yeah? You know what happened, yeah? Yeah, he's in that. Oh, that guy, how are we going to mix up? Something you got to learn the hard way. Maybe he was having one. I say, oh, maybe he was having one bad day. So, try not to behave rudely. If I step on your toes, please wear steel toe. So, when me and my wife dance, I tell her, put on your steel toe. So, I don't step on your toes. It's just an inside joke. Sometimes we say things and we hurt each other's feelings. Maybe the person speaking didn't meant it that way. You can always talk to the person and say, you know, you said this. Pull them on the side. Oh, you said this. I didn't mean to hurt my feelings. And your response would be, I'm sorry. Because we know we get all kind of fiery darts that we learn that the devil is going to try to bring you down. Or the deceiver. And the father of lies. So, Do not dishonor others. It's just another word for do not behave rudely. I get plenty stories about situations, and I'm sure you do too. But you guys get it, right? Okay, all right. Do not seek its own. Or what does your version say for me? Mine is in the, is not easily angered. Does not seek its own. Don't always think about yourself. Don't always think about, oh, I like to eat here. Or I like to go to this place. I'll ask my family. We like to eat. We like to eat. They cannot make one decision. I'll make the decision. So hurry up and make one decision. Because dad's hungry. But, you know, I hear his word. Don't only think about yourself, Freddie. You know, think about what your family wants. Think about what the body needs. What the body, you know, so much, you know, what's best for them. Not always what's best for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. You got that, yeah? Thank you. Well, I like this, you know. Okay, so we got. And love is not provoked. Or is not easily angered. Or keeps no record of wrong. Like that guy at the store. I felt I was being provoked. I didn't let that really get to me. You know. I did not let it get to me too easily. You know. So. The Bible says. When you get mad. Do not sin. Be slow to anger. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Because out of the abundance of the heart, that's what will come out. Now, if you've been listening too much of the world or living the world, that's what's going to come out. Yeah. But if you've been listening to His Word, worshiping His Word, worshiping God, trusting Him, that's what will come out. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Okay? So whatever you think, what you think, that's what you're going to be. Oh, I cannot go up there and do. I cannot preach. Then you cannot preach. Just simple as that. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Oh, I'm too fat. I cannot lose weight. Well, you're going to be feeling fat. You're going to be feeling depressed. Okay? So if you think God loves you. God does not mean junk. Every good and perfect gift is from God. Mm-hmm. You got to think of those. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is worthy, whatever is honor, whatever is pure, whatever is God, whatever is Jesus, think about those things. I used to think when I read that, I think the Bible was trying to brainwash me. And I hear His word. It's a brain cleansing. Because you are cleansed with His word. Amen? It says that in previous to what we were just reading. We are cleansed in His word. By His word, when we apply it to our life, we are washed. So the Bible says, husband, love your wives. That's how Christ loved the church. Wash them with the word. Read the word to them. So they be spotless. So, I'm reading the word to you guys. Receive the word so that you be spotless and blameless. So you can come boldly to God's throne. You can come boldly to God's throne and receive His grace. You can come boldly to your Abba Father and say, Father, I need you. Please help me with this situation. Okay. Amen?
Yeah.
See, and it also says, hopes all things, endures all things. Who do we hope for? We hope in Jesus. Jesus is our all, our everything. Okay. Endures all things. Everything what you go through, you gotta endure it and press on. Don't think about like, oh, I'm going through this trial again. Like I said earlier, what can I learn from this? How can I grow? Teach me, Lord. You gotta be in your hands. You, Lord God, are the potter. I am just clay. Mold me and make me in what you want me to be. Not what Freddie wants to be, what I want to be. Because his ways are better. He is Yahweh. He is the only way. Okay, there's another name for him, Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He'll provide all good things for you, for your flesh, for your soul, and your spirit. So you need to believe and hope in who? Jesus. Love does not delight in evil, or does not keep no record of wrong. If somebody offends you and you forgiving them, forgive them. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. Genuine faith. Okay? Jesus does not keep any record of your sins. He will blot out your transgressions. Okay? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died, you will be saved. And if you confess with your mouth that you have sinned, you will be forgiven. Because you know our God? He is good. That he is, what is that word I was saying? Good means he's very generous. God is very generous. God has given me so much, has given you so much. You know, he's giving you his son that you may have joy, that you may have love. Thought about I told you this so that you may enjoy. Let me give you an example in the Bible. It says that, you know, like when a lady who's pregnant gives birth, she's suffering in that hour. As soon as she gives birth, she forgets all that suffering. She has this joy that's inexpressible. I don't know how it feels because I've never been pregnant. Okay, women, you know. Okay, but when I see my sons worshiping God, I have joy. And you know that joy you have that Jesus gives you? Nobody can take it away but you. That's what you think about. Yeah. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Yesterday, before I was going to preach, I was at the park. I had a good nap. I was thinking, man, over my mind, okay, Lord, I know you said I should preach the word in season and out of season, but can I make an excuse? I got to go someplace? Yeah? Can I make an excuse that I have to go? That man can handle. He can do it. He can do it in the spirit. He don't need notes. Yeah? He don't need notes. So I make this. But I told Ben, I'm going to do it. Let your yes be yes. But this is battling in my mind. Anybody get that battle sometimes? Let's say, should I do it? Should I go? Should I stay now? Huh? Should I go? Should I stay? So I was worshiping, getting in the spirit. I said, Lord, I cannot do this with you, without you. Because I am nothing. I never go to school for this. I never go to college for this. What does it say? If you remain in me, I will remain in you. Let's say you gotta go get 1 degree. No, I never see that here. Jesus called his disciples, they were just fishermen. Unschooled. They were unschooled men. Jesus trained them. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. And whatever you ask, verse 16, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Whatever you ask. Now the Bible reminds me that, you know, sometimes we have not because we ask not. We do not receive because we ask amiss. We don't know what we're asking for. But if you remain in him, you will know what to ask for. That's why his name is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen. Yahweh is the only way. Amen. I tried it already. Guarantee, His way is the best way. Bible says, I want to try and convince you guys. I'm trying to convince you guys to remain in Him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what hardship you're going through, press on. Keep pressing on. Man, because you know when you go through that trial? Oh, Lord, thank you. Man, I feel good. I have so much joy. Thank you. I can worship you despite this 10 and nothing. I still can worship you. I still have joy. Despite this account who hasn't paid me in 6 months, I still have joy because you're my provider. You're my provider, Lord. You're my provider. Thank you, Lord. And I always remind myself, when I'm downcast, I hear David. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in Jesus. So, be careful. Whatever you speak in your mouth, yeah, that's what's in your heart. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue gives us an example of that. When we say something, can I? A little fire can just burn up the forest, a huge forest. It's just start with a little hurtful word. It's this little hurtful word. So be careful what you say. I said some not so good things sometimes, and God give me grace to go and apologize to my son, to apologize to my wife, to apologize to anyone who have hurt. Okay. If you remain in Him, instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Okay. This book right here, He wants it made known to you. Okay. Read His word. Maybe it's just 5 minutes. I know you guys busy. Don't be too busy to read His word. If you don't acknowledge Him and trust Him, man, you're going to get a tough time. You're going to be like Uncle. Okay? And I don't understand. Okay. Hope this is ingrained in your mind. And you don't want this ugly scar here. Okay. Honor your parents. All you want to do is bless them. Man, your dad was so proud of you, man. You got all the awards, man. Well, Uncle's in the back, all is crying, you know. Like, oh, yeah, I'm so happy for them. And I was like, Vincent, smile. It's okay to smile. You know, he's like, his face is so like, business-like, man. Yes. I knew I was going to get this confidence, like, man, God will bless me when I honor my parents. God will bless you when you honor God. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that if you have sin in your heart, you will not hear a word you say. The sin separates you from God. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you will not hear. The Bible says, guarantee. His word says that. Father, forgive me. And we pray to the Lord, Father, forgive me. And He says that. And help me, Lord, to forgive those who sin against me. Jesus on the cross, dying, being brutally whipped, brutally beat up, and through such a terrible death, the worst death that he could ever, was whipped 39 times. You know why they only whipped him 39 times? By the 40th whip, he'd be dead. He wanted him to suffer. He suffered long. And that temptation Pastor Miller is talking to us about, you haven't resisted till you shedded blood like Jesus did in the choir like this. Eh? If it's your will, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done. Sometimes we want our will be God's will. Lord, your will be done. Help me, Lord, to forgive. Okay, can somebody look up? close with this. Look up 1 John. Can you look up 1 John 4, 12 to 13? And anybody else? Gary, can you look up 1 John 4, 17 through 19? And when you get to that, just stand up. Okay, go ahead, Gary.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and this love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and He has seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever says,
That's good. Thank you. Sorry, maybe he read your part. But that's okay, but that's awesome. That was good. But to read them again, 17 to 19. Thank you, Derek. Good words, huh?
This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus, and there is no fear in love. A perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. Mm-hmm. So that is why the title of today, Love and Joy Perfected. The only way we're going to have love and joy perfected is we live and do what Jesus says. These are our ultimate example how to live an abundant life, how to live a good life. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words that speaks to our hearts. Lord, I know your word always says to not be only hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Lord, as we go today, I pray that we would live our life that is pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that whoever needs your love, whoever needs your joy, whoever is not experiencing your love and your full joy that you have for them, I pray in Jesus' name that you go in and fill their heart. Your Holy Spirit tells us that that's our comforter. But I pray that you would comfort our hearts. But I pray for those who are in need. I pray that they would believe that Jehovah Jireh is their provider. But that they would put you first in everything, and that their love and joy will be perfected. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me your love and joy that's been perfected in my heart, because I have no fear. Because my hope is in you, and it is not in fear. My trust is in you, Lord, and not in my own flesh. But thank you for all your promises. Thank you that You have an abundant life for us. Thank you, Lord, that you have plans to prosper us, plans to give us a future and a hope, not plans for failure, not plans for destruction. But in Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that you know the plans that you have for us. All we need to do is receive your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray today again, and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your love. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to me, Lord, where there needs tweaking or cutting off, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Let's give our Lord God the gift.
As I said earlier, you know, when it comes to like temptation, you know, like I mentioned to you how my brother said, you got to turn to God. You know, if you're struggling with temptation, you're doing things you know that displeases God, you can go to Him for help. You simply ask, Lord God, help me because I'm struggling. Lord, I don't want to continue in this sin. And, you know, He will. But, you know, the other thing, I remember my brother, what he told me, he says, that's the first thing you do. But second, then, you got to remember, the more you fall in love with God, the less desire you're going to have to go into that temptation or that sin. And that's what it's all about. And I've told people that I counseled, you know, what my brother told me. He says, fall in love with your Savior. Because that's what it is. That's what you want, that perfected love in you. Because our love, just our own human love, can never be perfected. It's God's love that comes into us that perfects the kind of love that we are to show others. I want you to understand that that's the only way. And the only way that you can achieve that is you got to let the words of God come so deep within your heart. You realize, man, if I don't know the word, if I don't fall in love with the Savior, I can never experience this perfected love. And you know, this past Thursday in the Bible study group at the park, we talked about forgiveness. And I can tell there's so many people, you know, that's in the park that tells me, you know, they've broken away relationships where, you know, it's been like 10, 20 years, maybe 30 years, where it could be a loved one, a mother, a father, brother, or sister, or a friend. And they said, you know what, I don't plan to make things better with this loved one because they hurt me too much. And I tell them the scripture, I said, you know what, the Bible tells us, if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. And it's very plain and simple. You will not have that perfected love in you. You will not have the fullness of God's love in you if you do not let go. Because yeah, God loves you, but you won't experience the fullness of Christ in you unless you're saying, you know what? I choose to forgive. I'm not gonna let this bitterness or this hatred continue on. Because we know, just like cancer, if it's not treated, it'll continue to grow. But we know when the love of God comes in us, it stops it right in its tracks to the point where we know it will not continue. It will not grow. The bitterness has to stop. And that's when we will experience the perfected love. And guess what comes with perfected love? Like what our brother just preached today, perfected joy. So in order to have perfected love and perfected joy, we gotta say, Lord, whatever is not of you, I'm letting it go. I'm surrendering it to you. Because that's what we all want in our lives. You want more love, more peace, more joy. Well, you want it to its fullest extent. You must start with what's in your heart. If there is any unforgiveness, we gotta make a decision. Are we truly gonna release it over to God? Because then and only then will you experience the fullness of God's joy, His love, His peace. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken through our brother Freddie today. And I ask you now, Lord, this is something we truly desire. It's perfected love. And we only can attain this when we know our hearts are right with you. That we know anything that we're holding on to, anything that we know is causing us to draw further away from you, we're going to say, Lord, it is yours. If we hold on to any hatred or any bitterness towards our brothers and sisters, I pray your Holy Spirit will come right now, Lord, counsel us and speak to us and let us know, Father God, that we can truly experience more of you if we let it go right now. We are not going to delay. We're going to say, Lord, I release it because I want more of you. And devil, your proper place is under our feet. Because it says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. And as we release it, we know the peace of God will settle so deeply within our hearts. Father, come. We invite you into this very place, Lord. Speak to us now. As we get things right with you, oh, let your peace just overflow. Let your goodness overflow in our lives. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize now, I thought I had really the love of God in me, but it's not perfected. There's not a fullness of Christ in me. And I realize now, I know there are some things in my life that I truly haven't let go. There's still some bitterness. There's still some hatred, some anger in me. Well, you simply say, Lord, it is yours. And if this is your heart's desire, and the Holy Spirit is counseling you right now, don't resist, brothers and sisters, because he wants to make all of him complete in you. And if you know this is you, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm going to release. I'm going to surrender. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Say, Lord, I submit myself fully to you. I resist the devil, and the devil, you're given the boot. You're out of here, devil, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that are raised. I ask you now, Lord, as they come with a heart that says, Lord, I surrender. I'm giving it all to you. I'm not going to hold on to the bitterness. I'm not going to hold on to that anger, any resentment, Lord. It is yours. It is done. As Jesus said while he was on the cross, it is done. And so it is with our sins. So it is with our bitterness. So it is with any unforgiveness. It is done. It is gone, Lord. Oh, Father God, I just pray right now as they have surrendered it to you. Lord, let your holy presence just fall upon their souls right now, upon their spirits. Oh, Lord, I know you're refreshing them right now. You're renewing them. Your love inside of them is being renewed. And thank you, Lord. Lord, we're going to walk with a heart that is true unto you. People will know that we truly have the love of Christ in us. I praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do and what you will continue to do, knowing, Lord, you're going to bring forth greater and greater of your mighty power in their lives as they continue to do things your way, as they trust in you and believe in you. I thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you know what? First thing you can do is pray a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you are ready and you're willing, the Holy Spirit is nudging at your heart. Don't resist. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us if you deny him, he will deny you. He wants you to come into his kingdom with your whole heart so that he can truly show you the blessings of heaven upon your life. And if you know he's touching your heart right now, say, oh, come to me, child. Come to me so I can show you what the love of the Father is all about. Say yes to him this very day. And if you know you are making a decision saying, I want to surrender my life to you, Jesus, I want to give my all to you. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Praise God. Anyone else? Say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. All right, you put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer out loud? Let's pray together. Pray like you mean it. Pray that you know that this is with all sincerity, that this is what your cry is to our Father God. Let's say this prayer out loud. Let's say it together as a family. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says, amen. Let's all